The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Well, some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings. Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? What sign will there be when these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, don't be terrified. For such things must happen first, and they will not be immediately the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky." The Gospel of the Lord. This week in which we focus on the reality of Christ as King of the universe and how we're called to live in his kingdom. He talks today in the Gospel about kingdom against kingdom. We hear in the readings about the destruction of kingdoms. But then we also hear about how to build our life in that kingdom that will know no end. The first reading, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Terrifies him. None of all those in his court are able to interpret it. Daniel, however, is given the same dream and comes into the king's presence and interprets the dream for him. And it's a dream that brings us straight into world and salvation history. A gold head, which was meant to be Nebuchadnezzar. A silver torso, meant to be the Persians. A bronze peritoneum and thigh, meant to be the Greeks. An iron set of lower legs, meant to be the Romans. And then the clay tile and iron feet, meant to be what happened to the Romans. In the midst of all their iron-like strength, through sexual practices, frankly, weakened from within. And then, right then, in the middle of the Roman Empire, comes that stone thrown from the mountain that shatters it all. And then it grows into a huge mountain. As we say liturgically, that mountain is Christ. He came to establish a kingdom that would know no end, a kingdom different than the kingdoms of Nebuchadnezzar and Darius and Alexander the Great and the Caesars. A kingdom ultimately coming from God. We know that in the interpretation of sacred scripture, there are various senses. There's the literal sense. There's the typological sense that points to Christ. There's the anagogical sense that points to heaven. There's also the moral sense. The moral sense of this passage is we always got to look at our foundations. If our foundations are weak, everything can come down. So we have to look for those weak points. We'll return to that in a second. In the Gospel, Jesus talks about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Like so many people who are hyper-political and put too much emphasis on worldly kingdoms, so sometimes people can make idols out of faith. And that's what so many of the Jews had done with regard to the temple. They thought it was indestructible now. They thought that because God had led to its building, that it would never be torn down no matter what they did. And when their feet became spiritually like clay tiles, and then their legs, and then their peritoneum, and then their torso, and even their head. They just never thought it would come crashing down. And Jesus told them that it would, that a time would come, which not one stone was placed upon another stone, because he was coming to inaugurate a new form of worship. They wouldn't worship on Mount Gerizim in Samaria, or even Jerusalem, because Christ would become that new temple. He would incorporate us into the true worship of God in spirit and truth in that temple. We too today can make idols. Rather than worshiping the one true God, we can seem to be worshiping him, but actually worshiping something else that we have given God's place to. As a pastor today, so many of us experience the problems when churches close. The people had made their parish church, their pew, an idol. It wasn't really built on Jesus and his word, and the Holy Eucharist was built on that parish. And so when the parish closes, at least a third stop practicing the faith. We're coming up on Saturday, the 50th anniversary of the first Novus Ordo Mass. So we see that many make the liturgy an idol. Rather than getting to where the liturgy leads us, sometimes we focus on the aspects of the liturgy. People focus more on the music than the one to whom the music is directed. Sometimes people can focus on tiny little rubrics and all the sort of actions, especially in traditional communities, rather than one signified. Sometimes, too, we can focus on idols that we make of the Lord Jesus. On the one hand, the indulgent, cuddly teddy bear who would never call us to any type of conversion that we don't want. On the other, a rigid, angry Jesus with the fiery eyeballs of the National Shrine's apse mosaic. Straight out of the Book of Revelation, by the way, but nevertheless, quite frightening. Rather than the real Jesus, who is still with us, constantly calling us to conversion to holiness through his mercy. But to beware of these idols, and how the Lord, out of mercy, constantly sends thrones to crash them down. The mercy. What is the foundation we need? St. Matthew's parallel account of this gospel, after Jesus describes all the destruction that will take place and warns not to just follow where everybody else says, because there'll be lots of imposters, walking, breathing idols that elsewhere would be called antichrists. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. He was given us the real means by which to build our entire life solidly in his kingdom, by really hanging on every word that comes from his mouth and becoming those living, breathing, walking commentaries of it. This is the way that we are able to build our life on that cornerstone thrown from the mountain, who grows to be a worldwide mountain. Today the church celebrates the feast of someone who not only built his life fully on the Lord, but it helped the entire world in the 20th century seek to do so. Do you all know which saint I'm talking about? It's actually a blessed, it's a trick question. Blessed James Alberione, founder not just of the Daughters of St. Paul, but 10 different communities. To do what? As St. John Paul II said at his beatification, to show people how to base their entire life on Christ, who is the way, the truth, and life. To base everything on the Lord. And how do you do that? Trying to be what Paul would have been in the 20th century if he had our means of communication. Use modern means for modern people to be able to bring the Word of God, which will never pass away, so that they're able truly to hear and live and more effectively share the Word of God. So today on his feast, 48 years ago after he's died, we ask the Lord for the grace, like blessed Giacomo Alberione, to build our entire existence on Christ the cornerstone, to really live his word, so that we will be solidly built on up, even though we're earthen vessels containing a treasure, on him who gives us something far more than gold or silver or bronze or iron, but strengthens us from within with himself.